y'all. Thanks for listening to Killer Queens.
Or KQ if you're nasty.
Welcome to the show where two 90s-loving country chicks gab about true crime and tell each other to talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. I'm Torella.
And I'm Tori.
And we're sisters who have always loved true crime and decided to turn that obsession into a show with a light take on the topic.
Kind of like diet true crime, it's all the flavor and fewer calories.
Now with our show, you'll get true crime, 90s nostalgia, and a few four-letter words sprinkled in.
Because I always say that Polly Pockets and true crime go together like peas and carrots.
Be sure to check out our case submission form on our website at killerqueenspodcast.com and follow us on social media and YouTube.
Now grab your Surge, your 3D Cool Ranch Doritos, and your kitten surprise, and let's get into the episode.
This episode contains discussion of domestic abuse, drug and alcohol abuse, sexual assault, and mentions of suicide. Listener discretion is advised.
On April 11, 2022, the trial that took over everyone's lives began. Johnny Depp sued Amber Heard for defamation due to an op-ed that she wrote for the Washington Post, where she referred to herself as a public figure representing domestic abuse. He was asking for $50 million while she countersued for $100 million. Both Johnny Depp and Amber Heard alleged domestic abuse from the other.
Hey, you guys, welcome to Killer Queens. If you've never been here before, we want to give you just a little information about how the show is set up and what it's meant to accomplish. If you have been here before, welcome back. You can just use that handy skip ahead feature here if you want to.
We want to give a message to friends and family of the victims. We know that there may be someone involved in the case who might listen one day, and we want you to know that our intention is to only bring awareness to this case. And while we do use personal stories in some instances and our own humor in order to tell the story in a way that listeners can relate, we have the utmost respect for victims and their families.
We created Killer Queens to be a place where we can have open discussions about cases just like you would with friends. We are not investigators. We use information that is available to the public, such as documentaries, case files, and media coverage. Using this information, we intend to tell the story of what happened in each case that we cover. Now, will you agree with our interpretations or conclusions of each case? Well, heck no.
Mm-mm. We each approach cases from different perspectives, life experiences, and beliefs that we already have in place. And sometimes these differences are slight, yet they can be wide enough to cause divide and upset some of those listening. We do our best to present the facts as we find them in our research, but we do bring our own perspectives to the case. We understand that you will too. We want you to know that this is a safe space to discuss differences and opinions in a civilized manner. Our style may not be your personal preference, and if that's the case, we know you'll be able to find one of the many other shows out there to tell the story the way you want to hear it. We can be grown-ups about it if you can.
Now, if we are your cup of tea and you want even more KQ, you can join our Patreon and get access to our entire catalog of episodes ad-free and access to bonus episodes too. And I'll give you just a little hint if you're an ad skipper, but you still want the deals that we have from our sponsors each week, you can scroll down to the show notes and see what coupons we have available for you right down there.
But you didn't hear it from us.
That's a pro tip, but I'll deny ever sharing it.
Right. So all that being said, let's get into the story.
All right, you guys, part two of our two-parter.
Yes.
This is it. This is the last.
First is the one, and then you go to the two.
And directly to the two. That's it. So if you haven't listened to or watched part one yet, you will get more context because we're about to dive right into the poop incident, and you don't know what that is yet. You know,
or maybe you do. I don't know, but.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, if you want part one first, go ahead and do that. We also want to give a hey girl thanks to Beth for writing this one up for us.
Yes, thank you so much. And thank you to you. And I'm talking to you, Torella, but also me.
And you.
Thank you.
Yeah, because we wanted to cover this. It was a trial that I watched for many, many hours. Like everything stopped and I had to watch the trial. It was
yes,
a good watch as far as like holds your attention, very interesting, like all that kind of stuff. All right, so. Last time we talked about just kind of like leading up to the trial, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's relationship, all of those things. Now we are in the middle of the incidents that Amber Heard claimed happened that led to that are why she was in an abusive relationship. These are the incidents of abuse.
Is it too on point to call what they had going on a relationship?
Oh.
Too much? Too soon?
No, I think we're there. Yeah, I think we're okay. There. I think it fits. Yeah. So, the poop incident, okay? The day after, the last thing we talked about was Amber Heard's 30th birthday whole debacle. The day after that, Amber goes to Coachella with her friends. But before doing so, she left a little surprise on Johnny's side of the bed. Now, Amber.
Call her Ambular, like from Clueless. Oh, that's yeah. What I've been referring to her as.
Yeah, for sure. Amber testified that she did not leave her actual shit in the bed that she also sleeps in. She's like, absolutely no, I did not. It was the dog. Okay. But didn't she text a picture of the shit to Johnny? Like, he received a picture of it somehow. I don't remember who sent it to him. But the driver, whoever it was that either drove them to Coachella or something.
It was the driver. It was the chauffeur, the driver that brought.
Yeah. He drove them to Coachella and he said that Amber was talking about on the way there, the surprise she left Johnny and alluded to all this stuff or whatever. So anyway, Johnny sees a large shit on his bed and he's just like, obviously, like, what the fuck? And he said it was his first reaction to just like laugh, almost like nervous laughter. Like, it's just so, he called it grotesque. It's just so bizarre and grotesque that I could only laugh. But,
well, and also, I think you're like, how in the actual world is this what I'm dealing with right now? So,
yes, exactly. So he said that, you know, Amber told him that it was the dog. And he blamed it on Boo. Now, I have seen text messages from Amber to either her sister Whitney or a friend or whoever that confirm what she now says about this. Boo was having some problems controlling his or her bowels. I'm not sure if Boo's a girl or a boy.
I assume every dog that's this big is a girl, but that's not true.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Like all calico cats are female.
Exactly.
She had said that Boo was kind of like shitting all over the place and stuff like that. Okay. So, okay. All right. Maybe Boo was having some control
digestive issues. Yes.
However, Johnny on the stand says, what do you say to Amber saying, you know, that this was the dog? And she testifies on the stand that this was the dog that did this, that she had nothing to do with it. And he's like, my dogs are teacup Yorkies.
They're 4 pounds a piece.
Okay. I haven't seen the shit on the bed, but I can damn sure tell you that I know the difference. My dog is, he's only supposed to be like 10 or 12 pounds. He may very well be 40 or 50. I'm not totally sure, but
he's a stout.
He's a husky little guy. That's my fault. But I can damn sure tell the difference between his shits and our other dog shits. They're two completely different sizes, right? I would definitely be able to tell the difference between his little shit and even one of my children's or an adult. Like, full human poop is different than a teacup Yorkie's shit. They're not the same.
A 4 pound dog leaving a Duke that would be big enough to confuse it with a human's. That does not happen.
That dog needs to go to the emergency vet if that's the case.
They shit out their all of their bodily organs if that happened.
Exactly. Like, there's something very, very wrong if that's happening. Another incident of note was when Amber alleged that, oh, and that's why you will see memes all over that call her Amber Turd, because that's why. Then there's another incident where Amber alleged that Johnny threw the cell phone at her face.
And we did touch on this earlier.
Mm-hmm. And Amber testified that at that time she was screaming for Johnny to stop hitting her. He says he was standing 20 feet away from her by the fridge. Johnny had two of his guards with him at the time who also say he was by the fridge. Amber's friend, who they call IO, testified. He said that he was there and that he was very concerned about Amber, that he, well,
I don't know that he says that he saw Johnny hitting her, because the only person that we know of that saw Johnny hit Amber is her sister, Whitney. And we're going to talk all about that. But so I don't know if Io just heard stuff or what. But anyway, he says that he called 911. The police come to the residence. And there's body cam footage of this. And they knock on the door and they come in and they ask what's going on. And she says nothing. Never mind. It was a mistake or something. I can't remember. She says nobody's in danger. She says nothing happened. It's not a big deal. Like, whatever.
Right.
She testified that the reason that she did that is because she didn't want Johnny to get arrested. And these are the photos that she had turned in with her original abuse claim. There is a mark by her eye. All right, Australia. Australia is the big one, right? So it has also been noted that Amber's story about what happened in Australia has changed 5 times. She has testified about this more than once, and none of her stories completely align. And honestly, many of them don't make any sense. And we'll go into that, but they just don't. So Johnny, so this is March 2015. Johnny is in Australia filming Pirates 5. Amber met him there when she like wrapped up a movie that she was in. She says that when she got to the house, she was making dinner. She's super excited to see him. It had been like a month since they'd seen each other. She said Johnny pulls out a bag of MDMA, which Beth gave us a note, is essentially a powder form of ecstasy. I didn't know that.
You really didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. I thought MDMA and ecstasy were the same thing, but I assumed it was a pill. I don't know.
Oh. I thought MDMA was a form of street fighting.
Oh, yeah. MMA, you mean? Yeah. So she testified that she was surprised that he had drugs because he had been clean and sober. She was also surprised that Johnny would want to do it together. Like, because I don't, as the way that she, well, I guess, and he talk about the relationship, drugs was not something they did together. It just doesn't seem like that was what they did.
Well, and Johnny also mentioned that drugs for him, I don't know if it was at that time, I don't know if it was always, but drugs for him was a way to numb pain. It wasn't for partying. He did not use it to party.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, because I know that there are times that he was going through treatment for drug and alcohol addiction. So definitely they wouldn't have been, you know, partying together then and stuff like that. But I don't know. So she says he wanted to do all these drugs with her and she was like, I don't know. She got upset about it and whatever. So Johnny says Amber was upset with him when she got to Australia because he had suggested a post-nup agreement since they never signed a prenup. And this is why I said in the last episode, this just seems like, you know, he was with Vanessa Paradis or whatever. I'm so sorry, Vanessa. I don't know how to say your last name. For 14 years, they never got married. He is extremely wealthy. Extremely wealthy, to the point that he owns a fucking private island in the Bahamas. So it seems like if he were going to get married, he would have handled all of these things on the front end, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It benefits, it doesn't benefit him in any way to rush to a marriage, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they were on the same level as far as successes in their careers or the amount of money, like financial success, like then that would be different, right? Like they both mm-hmm. or neither of them have much, you know what I mean? Like it's like, you don't take my money, I won't take yours or whatever, but mm-hmm. there is an imbalance there, so.
Yeah, and Amber talks about Johnny, like remember she says that he love bombed her in the beginning, like all of these things. I'm not saying that you wouldn't use that phrase once you learned what it was, but the way that Johnny talked about it was when we first started dating, Amber seemed too good to be true. You know, everything was perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And then they get married like this and he doesn't get a prenup in the beginning. And clearly, because he decided to go the post-nup route, that that was something that he probably would have been concerned about. I don't know. I just feel like when you look at everything, it seems to me and what we know of Amber and how aggressive she has been through all of this and recordings and everything, that maybe he was the one being love bombed. Because what do you also see in abusive relationships, whether it be physical, emotional, you know, coercive control, things like that, that they try to, they want to get you married right away, right? They want to get you locked in right away.
Like, or if you're thinking of, I don't know, possible divorce or something, then they are like, let's have a baby. Let's be tied to each other.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, I just feel like this stuff kind of lends itself to him being swept up in something again. I mean, you guys know what we said last time. I don't think he was right. I don't think he was without blame or anything, but that just says that to me. So anyway, they had not signed the prenup. So he says, I think we need to do a postnup. And he said that Amber thought that he was tricking her and was saying that he didn't trust her. Okay. So.
Which I don't know. Tricking doesn't make sense to me, but not trusting her, or maybe this obviously is at a time when there's a lot of stuff going on. They're already into the volatile relationship. So maybe he's like, shit, I gotta protect myself.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And she turns it around on him and says, oh, so you don't trust me then? You want to get a postnup because you don't trust me or whatever? It's the same kind of thing that somebody would do if you went through their phone and you found text messages to somebody else and you're like, hey, I found this. And they're like, why would you go? You went through my phone? That's my private property. I can't believe you would read my, you know, like, now you're turning around on me. I've done something wrong. Like, that's Fargo. Just what this feels like.
Deny, attack, reverse, victim, and offender.
Exactly. So he said he tried to calm her down. Obviously, this did not go well. It turned into absolute just chaos. Ben King, one of Johnny's employees, testified that Amber was crying uncontrollably. There was damage to the stairs, the ping pong tables. There was broken glass everywhere. And there are photos of this. This comes up in trial. Johnny Depp said that during the fight, he locked himself in 9 different rooms to get away from Amber. And he said that when he left one of the rooms, he went downstairs to the bar and he grabbed a bottle of vodka. He poured himself 2 to 3 shots. He said it was the first time he had tasted alcohol in quite some time. He tells the court, Amber comes down screaming at him about drinking, all this stuff. So Amber testifies, Johnny was holding the bottle of vodka out. So she grabbed it, slammed it on the floor, and that set him off. He says, Amber threw the bottle of alcohol at him, one bottle, and then picked up a larger bottle and threw that one as well. So the second one made contact and cut the tip of his finger off. Amber says, I don't remember throwing any bottles, but I do remember that Johnny was throwing me around and he ripped my nightgown off of me. Then she said he threw her on the countertop and then he was on top of her and then he sexually assaulted her with a bottle. She also alleges that he holds her hostage for 3 days during this incident. 3 full days. Now, in some of this newly unsealed evidence, there is, was it in that? Or did Whitney just tell somebody? Or were there actually text messages? I don't know if you remember this. Whitney told like her old boss or whatever about Amber cutting off Johnny's finger. Well, she's done it now. She cut off his finger. I'm going to have to clean this up or something like that. But she talks about that she was contacted by Amber and that Amber cut his finger off and she was going to have to clean this mess up or whatever. Like, you know, and there were also like so many people, like his personal doctor was there and all these other people were there. I don't think anybody was there for the exact moment that it happened, but.
Well, and there are photos of this finger, like it happened.
And there are also photos of some of the damage that was done down there. And I did not go and rewatch this entire trial. I mean, that's hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. But there was one part where Camille is showing Amber's on the stand. Camille is cross-examining her. And she brings up the picture of the bar area and the phone is on the ground because he had pulled the phone off the wall and thrown it down or something like that. At one point, Amber says that maybe he cut his finger off when he threw the phone. Like, maybe the plastic of the phone cut his finger off. There's no blood all over the phone. Like, none of that kind of stuff. But she, Camille is questioning her about this picture. And she is saying something about this incident that is kind of clearly like, but that's not what this picture shows, right? Like, those are two different things. And she stands firm in it. Like, so again, it just does not look good for her when you're changing your story multiple times.
Yes.
When, and it's different every single time. And then any of the witnesses that were there, I mean, Johnny had a full personal staff. So I just don't see that he'd be able to hold her hostage for 3 days and nobody know about it.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, again, you know, we weren't there, but all of those things. So, Johnny said that he started writing on the walls with his blood, and there was writing in the walls and blood all over the place. This was a really fucked up situation, top to bottom, all the way around. He said he doesn't know what a nervous breakdown feels like, but that was the closest that he had ever been. And he said that he was in shock after it happened. And when the doctor got there, he lied to the doctor. He said that he had smashed his hand in the door because he didn't want Amber to get in trouble. That also matches what we know about people who have been assaulted by their partner. Mm-hmm. I fell down the stairs. I opened the car door and hit myself in the face. Like, yes. That does happen. He also ended up contracting MRSA from this injury. Amber testified that she was dragged across the broken glass on the floor, that her forearms were cut, the bottoms of her feet were all sliced up, and she had a bruise across her jaw from the many times that he, quote, clocked her in the face. The photos from after the incident show very straight cuts, which doesn't really seem to line up with the photos. And there were experts that testified on this that said those look like straight cuts, not that you've been drugged through jagged,
broken glass.
Yeah. You and I have had an experience with broken glass when we were in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And it mostly got in our hair and cut our scalps up a bunch. Did you have cuts anywhere else? Or mine was,
maybe superficial.
Yeah. Kind of. So they were just little, like, and in some of them, the glass had kind of like you had to really dig it out or whatever. But as far as I know, there were no little bits of glass that had gotten embedded or anything. So again, this is just what the experts say.
Hey, you guys, it's us again.
Yay, it's us.
We threw you for a loop on this one. So we know that a lot of you have been asking, like, WTF, where are episodes 1 through 44? And guess what? Now you can have them.
So let's just remember, though, we need you to take a little caution here. We didn't know exactly what we were doing back then, and we started this podcast as just a fun thing to do as sisters. We had no idea that it would grow into this super awesome club with you guys. So what we're saying is the audio wasn't super amazing, but the content is 100% us, just being us and talking about some true crime with 90s flair.
Okay, so here are the details. You'll be able to access our what we're calling OG episodes in your favorite podcast app through a private and custom RSS feed link. So to grab that, head over to killerqueens.link/OG and snag episodes 1 through 44 today. That's killerqueens.link/OG.
There was another abuse allegation that was brought up during testimony, and that was from the airplane incident in 2014. So Johnny and Amber were leaving Boston to go back to LA for Lily Rose's birthday. Jeez. Johnny says that he and Amber had fought the night before and that he knew that she was looking for a fight, so he took 2 opiate pills. Amber says that Johnny was mad because of the film that she was in with James Franco, and she says he was screaming at her about the sex scene and was saying really obscene things to her. And apparently Johnny Depp fucking hates James Franco. I'm not sure why, but they seem to not like each other. Keenan Wyatt, another employee of Johnny's, testified that Johnny had been drinking, but that he did not appear to be really drunk. He seemed okay. Amber said he reeked of weed and alcohol. When questioned, Wyatt stated that he did not recall hearing any of the things that Amber claimed that Johnny said. He did not see either one of them kicking or hitting each other. He testified that he had a very clear view of both of them from where he was sitting on the plane. I did not love his testimony, though, because his answer to everything was, I don't recall. I don't recall. I can't recall. I don't recall. He didn't come across as believable to me.
Right.
He came across as, I'm intentionally not.
Like being vague, right? Like, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't love that. There are text messages, though, on, like, when they went and got Johnny Depp's, you know, text messaging history or whatever. There's a guy, Steven Deuters, is one of his managers or something like that. He had texted, he and Amber had texted about that plane incident. And in the text, oh, sorry, it was a text message to Amber. In the text message to Amber, he said, I don't really think he knew what he was doing. Like, if he had known how bad his behavior was, he would be mortified or something. And he said, when I told him he kicked you, he cried. So that kind of seems like, okay, yeah, he did kick her. He says that that text message was doctored, that he never said that, that that came from Amber's team. So it's so very, like, it's very, very he said, she said, and a lot of the information that should be easy to
dispute, prove, right?
Or not, yeah, is just like, well, then somebody says, well, that was doctored. Well, that was, you know, so,
well, yeah, know. It's just amazing to me that we have this much evidence, like, voice recordings, video recordings, text messages, and it's still like, no, I didn't, and nobody really knows.
Yeah, and if there were multiple people on the plane, like, I guess here's what I wonder, and I'm not saying that this is not possible. I'm sure it's possible, but is it likely that this many people are willing to lie to protect him? And it may be. Like, it may be that they are. But you'd have to have multiple people lie about this because there were other people on the plane. They always have a whole team of people travel with them. They work for Johnny. So would their loyalty be to Johnny? Yes, I'm sure. But
with that many people having to lie about the same thing, to me, I feel like there would have to be a slip up somewhere.
One would think, and there were other people on that plane that saw it, that would have seen stuff or would have known. They only called this guy. You would think her team would have called more people because, you know, like you said, maybe you might lie to me. Like, I don't know. I didn't see anything happen. But a lot of people, they're not going to lie on the stand or they're not going to want to, you know? So I don't know. Amber alleged that when she was walking away from Johnny, she just felt a boot in her back. And she said nobody did anything. Nobody said anything. She said you could hear a pin drop on that plane. She also took video of Johnny from that flight. And he is heard moaning. And he's like, he's kind of like laying there and he's just like that kind of thing. She said that he was drunk and he locked himself in the bathroom and he was howling like an animal. Johnny testified that he knew Amber was angry. So he had asked one of his employees to communicate with Amber for him. So, like we said, there's only one witness to abuse that testified at the trial, and this was Amber's sister, Whitney. So anybody else who testified that they believe that Johnny was abusive, this was coming from information that they got from Amber or maybe things if they heard them fighting or whatever. But the only person to have ever said that she saw Johnny hit Amber was Whitney. Does that mean he never did? Absolutely not. Plenty of people wait until there's nobody around. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, as far as facts go, this is the only one. She testified that Amber had told her that Johnny was cheating on her. Amber testified that Johnny's tablet was out and she found texts between him and another woman that he was having a sexual relationship with. Whitney testified that Johnny was calling Amber a fucking whore and a fucking see you next Tuesday. She also said that Amber was calling Johnny old and fat. Whitney also said that Johnny hit her in the back. And Johnny says that Amber punched him. Sorry. Yeah. Johnny says that Amber punched him. And then Whitney says that Johnny grabbed Amber by her hair and hit her in the face. And Amber is saying that she hit Johnny to protect her sister because she says that when this whole ordeal was happening, now, again, there's multiple people at this thing. The other people that were there say that they did not see Johnny hit either one of them. She says that Johnny was throwing a Red Bull can at somebody and hit one of his assistants with the Red Bull can or something. She says, not that I know of. Like, I don't think so.
Right.
But Amber says, you know, he was about to hit my sister. Or he did hit my sister or something. So she said she just put her body in between the two of them to protect her sister because she didn't want her sister to get hit. And the whole time, all she could think of was Kate Moss and the stair incident. She brings this up in her testimony. Now, before this happened, they couldn't bring Kate Moss into this because Johnny and Kate Moss had dated from 1994 to 1998. And when Amber says, all I could think of was Kate Moss and the stair incident, Benjamin Chu, one of Johnny's attorneys, is like, yes, like he's very happy because now that she's brought it up, they can actually bring that in and they can call Kate Moss to testify. Otherwise, Kate Moss has nothing to do with this trial, right? But now they can have Kate Moss testify. And what Amber explains is the stair incident is that Kate and Johnny were in Jamaica and they were like leaving and doing something. And Johnny either shoved her down the stairs or hit her and she fell down the stairs or something like that. So they bring Kate Moss on to testify via Zoom. And she says, no, he did not hit me. He did not push me. And they ask, did he ever hit you, kick you, or push you the entire 4 years that you were together? And she's like, no, absolutely not. She said it was wet, I think. It had been raining or something like that. She slipped. Yeah, she slipped and fell down the stairs. That was it, that Johnny had not hit her or anything. So that's another, that doesn't look good for her. I'm kind of surprised they did not call Vanessa. And to me, that feels like maybe because there is something there that they didn't want to come out. I mean, I don't know that to be true, but why would you not call his partner of 14 years to testify that he's not abusive?
Sure. But I do wonder if, I know that they have kids and I know that they're older now, but I do wonder if it's like for the kids, they don't want both of their parents to be dragged into this like super publicized.
That's true. That's a really, really good point. Because also, I mean, Vanessa appears to be a fairly private person. You know, maybe like you said, he didn't want her to have to deal with that or something.
Yeah.
Because we got from Kate Moss that like, no. And Amber's attorneys do not look happy that this has come up. And it doesn't help Amber's case at all.
But it almost feels to me like, so Amber, when she's on the stand, she just cannot help herself. Like, I don't know if her attorneys were like, don't, what did we talk about?
Exactly.
Do not bring up Kate Moss. And she was like, and then the whole Kate Moss thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, she's got to add all kinds of extra details, right? All I could think of was Kate Moss, Kate Moss, Kate Moss, Kate Moss, because I knew that he had punched her or kicked her down the stairs or whatever. Like, that's not going to help you in this situation. Now, she's trying to show that there's a history of Johnny Depp being abusive to his romantic partners. So far, we have no evidence of that. Kate Moss flat out denies it. There's never been any allegations from Vanessa Paradis, anything like that. However, Amber Heard was arrested at an airport when she was married to her wife for hitting her wife in public. She was arrested that day. There's documentation of that. There were people who saw that. That establishes a history. And if that's not enough, Whitney, which I did not know about this, and this was not allowed in court during this
Amber
trial. Yeah, so apparently Whitney filmed like a pilot or something for a reality show that apparently never went anywhere, or maybe it did, but I've never heard of it. But anyway, they were doing a reality show and Whitney was in it. And there's an episode, or the one episode or whatever, Whitney has got like a shiner on her face. And she's talking to all her friends like out by the pool or something. And they're like, oh my God, did your sister beat your ass? Why did she beat your ass? Did you start it? Did she start it? Like these women keep asking her, I can't believe your sister beat the shit out of you, man. Like, look at that. That's really bad. Did you fight her back or did she just kick your ass? Like they keep asking her about it. And she keeps saying, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. So now we've got a second instance. There's not another sister that I know of.
I don't know. I mean,
So we've got a second instance that would establish a pattern of violent behavior on Amber Heard's part.
Right.
I don't know.
And we're literally just talking about facts, because does it mean that Johnny Depp has never been or could never be physically abusive or violent? No.
Right.
But there's nothing to prove it. So we don't know.
Right. Exactly. So that's just, those are things that we have. And because, and these people are very, very high profile people. Amber Heard may be more so now than she was, but there's a lot of video documentation of stuff and picture documentation and whatever. So, and that wasn't allowed in the first trial. The judge ruled that that was not admissible, but that's that, you know? Another big point of the trial were the recordings that Johnny and Amber took of each other. And a lot of the recordings came into play during the trial, but the one that made the biggest impact was one of Amber talking about Johnny being a victim of domestic violence. And we'll listen to that here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, because the last time that it got crazy between us, I really did think I was going to lose my life, and I thought you would do it on accident. And I told you that. I said, oh my God, I thought for the first time.
Amber, I lost a finger, man. Come on. I had a can of mineral spirits thrown at my nose.
You can please tell people that it was a fair fight and see what the jury and judge think. Tell the world, Johnny. Tell them, Johnny Depp. I'm a victim too of domestic violence, and
yes.
I, you know, it's a fair fight. And see how many people believe or side with you.
It doesn't matter if it's a fair fight.
Exactly, because you're bigger and you're stronger. And so when I say that I thought you could kill me, that doesn't mean you counter with you also that you lost your own finger. I am not trying to attack you here. I'm just trying to point out the fact of why I said call 911. Because you had your hands on me after you threw a phone in my face, and it's gotten crazy in the past, and I truly thought I need to stop this madness before I get hurt.
Oh, my God.
And I never think about myself that way. I never defend myself that way. I never see myself as a victim. It's to a fault, you know?
All right. Yeah.
So the clip doesn't say that Johnny was not abusive, of course, but it does validate the claims that Johnny had been making. And it also does not sound good for Amber for her to say, oh yeah, Johnny, you tell people I'm a victim of domestic violence. You say that and see who's going to believe you, you know?
Well, and it also feels like, I don't know if I read this wrong or caught it wrong. I don't know. But she says, yes, you tell everyone, Johnny Depp. She says the word man. And I don't know if she's being like, oh, a man can't be abused by a female, which is just wrong because nobody is excused from being, you know, like
everybody
can be a victim of it.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But she's so demeaning and condescending and
absolutely, like totally demeaning. And it just doesn't sound good. And I just can't imagine, again, survivors of domestic violence can behave any which way they want to, right? There's no right way or wrong way. However, I don't resonate with that experience, because if the person who abused me told me, like maybe I tried to fight back or something. First of all, that also wasn't my experience. I never tried to fight back. I never was the aggressor. I tried to do anything that I could to be completely neutral for him. I didn't want to make him mad. I didn't want to say the wrong thing. I walked on eggshells around him. I tried to make sure I never upset him. Now, I upset him all the time still, but I was trying not to. So I certainly wasn't going to walk up to him and fucking shove him in the chest and be like, what? You know, like I was terrified to do something like that. So it is not my experience to also be an aggressor to the person who's being abusive to me.
Right.
But if for some reason I did fight back and I, you know, and he said, well, I'm going to tell everybody you beat me up and I'm, you know, I'm the domestic violence victim and like that kind of stuff, I just don't see that being my response. Like, oh yeah, you tell everyone and see who's going to believe you. Because that's also another kind of stance to take for an abuser. Because what I could see is if I told him, I'm going to tell somebody about this because it can't keep going on. I could have seen him and other people who are abusive in this way saying, oh yeah, go tell people, see if they believe you. Because here's what I'm going to tell them, and they're not going to believe a word that you have to say. Or why would anybody believe, you know, whatever. Like, it just doesn't seem like the kind of reaction you would have.
Well, and also, I don't even know if this is going to come across the way that I mean for it to, but it's just interesting to me that she definitely said that. I mean, there's recordings of it. She definitely said it.
Mm-hmm.
But then after all of this is happening and it's coming out, one of the things that she's suing him for is the smear campaign, because he's got a lot of people backing him. He's, you know, better known. And it's like, that's not fair. Well, he just fucking called your bluff, girlfriend. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it just doesn't, you know, and we have the recordings of her saying that she hit him. No, I did not punch you. I didn't fucking deck you. I hit you. Grow up. You're such a baby. You want to whine about when I hit you. We also have the recordings of her saying, you're the one. You're the one who makes these fights turn into what they are.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to talk about something with you. I'm trying to have this, what should be a petty argument with you, and you run away. She totally admits to and validates his testimony, which is, I try to get out of the situation so that we can cool down, so that it's not so heated, so that it doesn't turn into this big thing. And she says, the very act of you doing that is what makes it get so heated. And then I have to blow up because I have to follow you around. I have to chase you around. I have to bang down or bang on the door just to get you to come out to actually face me. And if you would just face me and get it over with, then it could just be like this little thing and be done. But no, you can't do that. You run away from it. And then I have to get that aggressive.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it just, I don't know. It just doesn't line up with my experience or many people's experience.
Well, and allegedly Johnny's experience. So.
Right. Because he's saying, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to have this fight. I don't want to, what did he use? The square off. I don't want us to have to square off with each other and that kind of stuff. Like, I know it's not going to go well. So we need to take our time and we need to, you know, whatever. But Camille Vasquez did also bring up all of these pictures that Amber would take of Johnny while he was asleep. And she said, you really like taking pictures of Johnny when he's sleeping, huh? And she's like, no, he wasn't asleep. He was passed out and nodding off. That's different than sleeping. He's not just sleeping. And what she's doing is, presumably, is taking pictures of him when he has passed out to embarrass him.
Mm-hmm. Because why else would you take him? Like, what is the reasoning behind that? What I would presume, and this is alleged, I don't know, but I would think that the reason to take those pictures is to send them to somebody and be like, do you see what he's doing again? See what happened again? Do you see what?
Right. And again, just.
And Amber was saying, I did it so I could get support. I needed support.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's.
Yeah. And it's just another thing that if you're trying to humiliate him or embarrass him, if you are afraid of this man and afraid for your safety when he gets angry, why would you want to, you know, poke the bear? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Now, I will admit there have been some. I didn't see all of them, obviously. We saw what we saw. And I didn't watch the entire trial because it was a lot and very long. But I did see a handful of photos, maybe 3-4 photos. Some of them look like he was literally just sleeping on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of them did look like he was literally nodding off, like in a chair slumped over kind of,
with like a drink pouring out or whatever. Like, yeah, he definitely was passing out some for sure.
But the thing is, Johnny didn't deny it.
No,
he didn't say, no, I wasn't. He was like, yeah, whenever I would take whatever, I would do what is called. He fully admitted to it.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. There was a really, really big issue about the coloring kit that Elaine Bredehoft brought out in one of her statements in the trial. So it was a Milani like color correcting kit, kind of like a contouring color correcting kit, whatever. She brings it out on the trial and she says, "This, ladies and gentlemen, is what my client had to carry in her purse every single day the whole time she was married to Johnny Depp so that she could cover her bruises up. This exact kit was in her purse every day without fail because she had to cover up bruising," right? Milani actually came out and said, "Squeeze me. We didn't even come out with that kit until 2017 and they got a divorce in 2016. So what the what?" You know?
And then, of course, here's, and I don't know, we're talking about it because we're talking about it. But then, of course, Amber is like, it wasn't that exact kit. It was something.
Yeah, it was something
similar,
like it. Yeah. Milani ended up taking down the TikTok they made. And I don't think that they made it to be like taking sides, you know, one or another.
But if you want to talk about, I used this during 2014 or 15.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
And I know you didn't. Yeah. Yeah. So they ended up taking that video down, I think, because it spurred a lot more like hate maybe towards, you know, Amber's side.
Well, it's like, and now Milani has entered the chat and it's like,
yeah, and they're like, we don't want to be tied to this and all that kind of stuff. So is it possible that she was saying she had to use a kit such as this to cover up her bruising? I'm sure it's possible. They made it sound like that was the exact one that they used.
I'm going to be honest. Elaine Bredehoff maybe needed to not talk as much as she did. I don't think that she was helping a lot. I think she did a lot of damage the trial.
It's interesting. Everything that I've heard about Elaine Bredehoft and other people have said is that she's a very intelligent attorney and, you know, all these things. And she's a very articulate woman. There were a few times during the trial, though, and what I watched of the trial that contradicted that a little bit. And I'm not saying she's not educated. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But she was just having a lot of difficulty with some things. Like one of the things she kept forgetting to do was speak into the microphone when she's up at the thing. Yeah. And the judge had to remind her, I mean, upwards of like 20 times every time she was questioning someone or...
You have to push the button, then speak.
Yeah. Push the like, button. Yeah, it was just like she was forgetting that kind of stuff. So there were just some things. And then, you know, the social media is going to take off with that. And it makes for funny videos and all that kind of stuff. But yeah,
well,
it
also, was... And I don't know if this is something that you were going to bring up or whatever, but it drove me absolutely insane because there would be questions that she would ask and Camille Vasquez would be like, objection, whatever. And Elaine would be like, I can ask that. I can ask that. And it's don't get to make that call, dude. Like, wait for the judge.
Yeah, yeah. And then the judge would say... Yeah, there were a few times that Camille would object and the judge would sustain it. And then she would basically do the same thing over and over
like
again until she got it right.
Just slightly. Yes. Yeah. And the judge would be like, you cannot ask that.
You cannot do that. Yeah, exactly.
I also found it to be, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm like, now I'm getting, when we talk about Elaine Bredehoff, like, and Amber, but Elaine is like, ooh. But one instance where, because they talked to the guy from, oh my gosh, who leaked the video? Was it TMZ?
TMZ.
TMZ.
Yep. Yeah.
They talked to whoever leaked it, right? And she was trying to make the point to him, well, the only reason why you're here or the only reason why you're testifying, the only reason why you got involved in this is because you're looking for your 15 minutes of fame. And oh my God, the mic drop when he was like, well, you taking on Amber Heard as your client, people could argue the same thing about you.
Like, yes, I forgot.
No,
he
said we didn't.
That. I mean, that's like, how is that going to help you? You know, how is that going to help your case?
Badgering the witness.
Yeah, to just be really hateful to a witness that could possibly help your case if you could get the, you know, what you need out of them, you know, the information out of them. Yeah, that wasn't, yeah. So, okay, you guys, we're going to talk about the divorce settlement and that Amber pledged/donated this money, right? So when Amber and Johnny divorced, Amber stated she was going to donate all $7 million owed to her because that's what she got in the divorce. So she went on a Danish TV show And the host of that show said, well, you know, a lot of people think you're just out for money and all this stuff, but you did something this week that completely turns that idea on its head, didn't you? And she's like, thank you. Yes, I did. What I did, sir, is I donated all $7 million to two organizations. I donated $3.5 million to the ACLU and $3.5 million to the Children's Hospital of LA. And she says, I wanted nothing. See, I gave it all away, all of it, every cent of it. I never wanted anything from him, right? And everybody is like clapping and they're like, oh my gosh, that's great, whatever. So Camille is like, okay. You remember saying that? She's like, yes, I did. And she looks at the jury. Yes, I did. I donated that money. Yes, I did. And Camille is like, as you sit here today, have you donated that money? Yes, I did. And Camille is like, uh-uh. As you sit here today, have you donated that money to those two organizations? And she's like, well, yes, I pledged that money. And she said, I'm not asking you if you pledged it. Did you donate it? And there was some back and forth there. And then finally, Amber says, well, I use the words pledge and donate synonymous with one another. That's the way she said it. And Camille said, well, I don't. So I want to know, did you actually pay that money out? And the answer is no, she did not. I think that right there lost her case. Because she had the nerve before Camille pointed out the difference. I don't know if Amber just thought she was going to leave it at that.
Well, yeah, nobody was going to be like, well, but let's look at this further.
Yeah, because you can say you're going to donate money all day long, but until you make the payment, it's not donated, right?
Yeah.
So she looked the turned her face and body and looked at the jury right in the eye and said, I donated the $7 million. Yes, I did. And then it comes out that, well, actually, no, she didn't. So ACLU says that they've received so far $1.3 million towards the pledge that she made of $3.5 million. And the Children's Hospital of LA testified that as of June 2018, they had received $250,000 in connection to the $3.5 million pledged. No more than that at that time. And then from what I understand, what I've heard Amber say is that she's not been able to pay any more of that because she's had all these fees from Johnny suing her and all that kind of stuff. I have also read that many times the wealthy will pledge a certain amount and then they will make payments on that amount for tax benefits so that they've got a certain amount coming out every year and all that kind of stuff. There's all kind of like tax stuff that goes along with it. It just feels real fucking slimy that she didn't say, my goal is, or I am making a promise to, as I can make the payments, to donate all of that money to these two organizations.
Well, exactly. And to, because Amber could have gotten herself out of a lot of trouble. And I think that she might have actually had a chance to win it if she had just not tried to be so up on her fucking high horse, holier than thou, being so smug about everything. If she had just been honest and said, I have pledged that money, it has not been completed yet.
Yeah, I'm making payments on it. That's all she had to say. I'm making payments on it, but she didn't. And she knows full well that if you say, like, if I tell you I donated $100 to my kid's school,
I'm not going to be like, well, when will you make that payment? My thought is it's already been done.
It's already been done. Exactly. I do know that, like, because I've seen, you know, Twitter and shit goes wild with this stuff. So I have seen people go on there and be like, well, if you go to some of these charity organization websites, you know, they use the word, you know, you pledge this much or whatever, you know, PBS, you think about all those call-ins or whatever, this person pledged this much money. There are some organizations that maybe use them synonymously, but again, she didn't explain that. She didn't say, that's the pledge I made, and I have now made XYZ payments and will continue to make payments on that. And I think that that's another thing that the jury looked at and said, you just looked at me and lied to my face.
Yeah.
Because you knew full well you'd not made that payment yet.
And the thing is, because you have to win over the jury. Like, it doesn't matter. A lot of times, it really doesn't matter about whatever evidence there is, you have to make the jury believe you. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you don't have a fucking chance.
Mm-hmm.
And she does not come across as a likable person, but at all.
No. And is it possible that Johnny lied about some things? Of course it is. But he just, if he lied about stuff, he just happened to not lie about stuff that you can easily prove that was a lie. But she did. And she lied about things that were in a deposition that you can go back and read the transcript, you know, or... Well, I was just going to say, like, you know, she told one version of the story in the deposition and then tells another version of the story. One of the big ones being whether or not she saw Johnny's finger get cut off. Mm-hmm. She says in the deposition, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. Maybe this happened. Maybe that happened. He did it to himself, but I wasn't there. I did not physically see it. And then on trial, she says she did physically see it. Like, those are two, those you don't like. Oh, I mixed up if it was his left or his right hand.
Right. Or, I don't know, it was sunny that day. Oh, it might have been cloud. Like, those are nothing details that you could mix up, right? But it's like, no, that you would remember that.
Yeah, either you were there or you were not there.
And also, I'm just thinking, like, okay, so Amber, even when she was, like, maybe, I don't want to say caught, but, like, when somebody was saying, like, hey, you did this and it wasn't great, she kind of stood firm with, no, I didn't. No, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did not. Johnny, when he was on the stand and when he was brought to, or when it was brought to him with, you know, like drug use, he said, yes, I did. Yes. I have been known to do X, Y, and Z and nod off and blah, blah, blah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That picture, that's where I was doing this. Yes. I've had a problem with, like, it benefits you, it behooves you to be honest, good, bad, and ugly. But Amber did not do that.
Yes, the jury obviously put more weight into his testimony. They viewed him as more credible.
Yes.
And more genuine, I think.
I think
she came across as not genuine.
Right.
Both parties had a mental health expert testify about Amber. The expert for Johnny's side, Shannon Curry, who I loved Shannon Curry.
She discussed, God, she looks great in glasses. Oh my, I mean, gosh. I don't know. I'm sorry. She's just gorgeous.
She really is. She discussed Amber's testimony and provided a psychological evaluation. So she found that Amber has borderline personality disorder as well as histrionic personality disorder. Curry testified that Amber was reactive and overly dramatic. She said that she would go between being like princess and victim. The expert for Amber's side said Amber is being truthful and diagnosed her with PTSD. Dueling experts, man. Experts are going to cancel each other out almost every time if both sides have an expert. Not even almost every time, pretty much every time, because you're not going to bring an expert up that you paid a lot of money for to be like, actually, no, that's actually right. No. You know, actually, I agree with the other side. So make of that what you will.
Yeah.
But I watched her testimony. I found it very, very interesting. And she brought up a lot of scientific things that have to do with the way that you conduct these tests. And one of the things that she said was she reviewed the other side's testing.
And there are certain markers that you have to.
Yeah, you have to address certain things. There are certain questions you are supposed to ask and you're supposed to get, you know, all of this information. And they would. What it sounded like was that they had made diagnoses based on partial information and not everything.
Didn't use the tools and the testing correctly.
Right.
To diagnose her.
Yeah. Like used part of the test and not the whole thing. And that's not how it's done. I mean, it just does not meet the criteria for that test.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And obviously I am no expert on anything, honestly, but, and I'm not here to diagnose Amber at all because I cannot. However, I don't know anything. I really don't know anything about histrionic personality disorder. I don't. I would love to learn more about it. Don't know anything about it. Borderline personality, I know a little bit. Tagline for it is, I hate you, don't leave me. And that tracks with what Johnny's alleged, his testimony is.
And not just his testimony, but the recordings that we've heard.
Well, yes. I'm trying to be as generous as possible here. Like, I can't say that she's 100% a borderline personality. She doesn't have, I don't know. Sure. But
yeah,
it tracks mm-hmm. to me.
And again, I just want to be really clear that we are not saying that that absolves Johnny of any of the wrongdoing that he did. It absolutely does not. These are two people. If he never was violent toward another partner in his romantic history, he still was not abusive to Amber.
Absolutely.
There's abuse there, if you know, with how volatile and all of that kind of stuff that he was. But again, you know, you hear those recordings and it's just like, damn.
And I think it's really, really important to note that, I mean, we're talking about the trial specifically. We're talking about the things that were brought up in the trial specifically. But the trial itself was not to determine whether or not one was abusive to the other. The trial is about defamation.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I know, which, okay, so it's easy to forget that.
It gets lost.
So, jury deliberates for 3 days. Amber Heard was present for this verdict. Johnny Depp was in the UK touring with his band. And Amber Heard was found guilty of defaming Johnny Depp. So, the jury originally awarded Johnny Depp $10 million in compensatory damages and $5 million in punitive damages to be paid by Amber Heard. The cap, though, for punitive damages in Virginia was like $350,000, so they couldn't go the full $5 million. For Amber's counterclaim, she was awarded $2 million in compensatory damages. So I feel like if you, like, everybody kind of views this as like Johnny Depp won, Amber Heard lost. They kind of both won and they kind of both lost. Like,
yeah, definitely.
They both were found to be dickheads to each other, pretty much. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like the jury got it right.
And I also think that they both lost in the fact that now everybody knows all of their business. Not all of it, but we all know a lot of it.
Exactly. All right. So where is everyone now? As of June 1st, 2023, Amber Heard is said to be living in Spain with her 2-year-old daughter, Una Page. I don't know. She took some time away from the public eye after the conclusion of the trial, but made her first public appearance at the Taormina Film Festival. She was promoting her new film, In the Fire, where she plays a psychologist in the late 1800s. She will be in the upcoming sequel, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, as Mara in theaters this December. Amber said, quote, "What I've been through, what I've lived through doesn't make my career at all, and it's certainly not going to stop my career." Johnny Depp made an appearance in May of 2023 at the Cannes Film Festival, where his new French film, Jean du Barry, opened the festival.
Somebody get this girl a beret.
I'm French. He said in a press conference that he doesn't have much further need for Hollywood. He also said when asked about a comeback, quote, "I keep wondering about the word comeback because I didn't go anywhere. As a matter of fact, I live about 45 minutes away." So, yeah, maybe people stopped calling out of whatever their fear was at the time. But no, I didn't go anywhere. He says nowhere. I've been sitting around. He also has been touring with his band, the Hollywood Vampires, in the UK and in Europe. He is also living in Somerset in the UK currently.
Well, there you go.
There you have it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like at the end of all of this, my hope is kind of, it's actually exactly like how I feel about football teams or sports in general. I just hope everybody has fun. That's it. Sure. That's all I want. Yeah. Just hope everybody's happy. Hope everybody has fun.
Yep.
That's all I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Let us know what you guys think. Oh, and I do want to say that if you're going to leave comments, we're not going to deal with any yucky, mean comments to each other.
No.
We're not going to deal with any yucky, mean comments about Amber or Johnny. You know, we're just not going to do it.
We want very much so. And honestly, it's not a want. It's we're not going to tolerate anything other than productive and respectful conversation about it.
Exactly. We're all grown ups here. We can all have a discussion. You might disagree with us. You might disagree with somebody else, but we can do that in a civil way.
Yeah. And it's okay to agree to disagree. It's totally fine.
Absolutely. Yep.
I can do it if you can.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you guys so much for listening and or watching. We love you and we will catch you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on this case. Connect with us on Instagram or Facebook to continue the conversation. Thanks for listening and we will meet you back here next week.
Bye.
The theme song for the show is created and composed by Stephen Toby. You can find more of Stephen's work on SoundCloud. Our logo was created by Sloan Williams of Sophisticated Crayon. You can find more of her work on Etsy. Visit us at killerqueenspodcast.com for merch and other info about the show.